to me that she might have made the same promise to someone else, someone in the Empire. Her long tenure under the protection of the Imperial Security Bureau could very well mean she was working for them even now. Leia and Admiral Ackbar hadn't shared with me any details on Drusel's background. How did they know she was legitimately an enemy of the New Order? The ISB could be using her to infiltrate the Alliance. Our escape from Dalang had me suspicious as well. How hard had the Empire really been trying? They had certainly seemed intent on killing us at the time, but strategically that cruiser shouldn't have been there by itself. The Empire knew of the Interdictor's vulnerabilities, or else they wouldn't habitually surround them with escorts. So why send one in alone this time to pull everything out of hyperspace in the hope of catching us? They might have caught something a whole lot meaner than a single fugitive ship. It reeked of desperation. Or a sacrifice. But a sacrifice to what end? Would the Emperor sacrifice an entire cruiser and all its crew to bolster the credibility of one operative? I didn't know if he was heartless enough to throw away lives like that. Vader probably was, but we hadn't had a whiff of his involvement yet. I shook my head to clear it. Maybe it was all an elaborate plot, and someone had planned their hollow chess moves far ahead of time. But if so, I couldn't see the shape of their attack yet. It was far more likely that the Empire never thought a single ship would have the ordnance or guts to successfully attack an Interdictor solo. And that was it. Then again, Drusel could be playing both sides for some other agenda of her own. She was certainly intelligent enough to do so. Regardless of the true situation, our best bet was to get the jewel refitted and out of the system as fast as possible. And a tiny twinge of paranoia probably wouldn't go amiss here. The Kupoans weren't quite as renowned for spying as the Bothans were, but for my money, they were a close second. Or in a way, even better, precisely because they weren't renowned for something that should be conducted secretly. Their extraordinary hearing made them excellent eavesdroppers, able to catch snippets of whispered conversation across a busy cantina by using their sonic filters to isolate the voices they wanted. Rumor had it the Kupoans, who had trained in law enforcement, could isolate your heartbeat and detect stressors in your voice that betrayed when you were lying. And because it was almost impossible to sneak up on them, they made a game of it. Becoming naturally stealthy as they grew up, they would make excellent assassins. Maybe they were so good no one ever caught them at it. But in any case, we would have to assume that anything we said on the planet could be overheard. I reminded Drusel of that because we could easily reveal in an unguarded moment who we were and what we were doing. And that would be valuable information to sell. I told R2 to stick close to me while we were on the surface. Don't ever be alone. Someone could try to mess with you to get at your memory. The droid rocked back and forth on his support arms and chirped and whistled in outrage at the very idea. Thanks for your time, Drusel. I'll let you get back to your probable ladders or... The Gibbon nodded once in reply and tilted her chin at the ceiling before I left the quarters. But her voice called me back. Yes?
One of the probabilities may interest you. It is almost certain that this ship's system has been remotely sliced since we arrived in this sector.
What? How? R2 added several indignant beeps to that. Don't you think my droid would have noticed?
I imagine he will find something if he looks now.
R2's socket jack whirred in the computer, and his dome light began to wink as he worked. Drusel continued.
It will not be an invasive burst of code. It will behave more like a Minarch, attaching itself inconspicuously and going along for the ride. But it will see what you see, know where you go and who you talk to. Were we tourists, this would be of little consequence, and the information unworthy of trade. However, we are not tourists, are we?
No, we're definitely not. R2 spat out a long, warbling stream of annoyed chirps, and the top of his dome rotated in extreme agitation. I'd have to go back to the cockpit to get a translation of the noise. Nakari was already reading it, and her loud reaction sounded unhappy. "I'll be right back," I said. Nakari scowled as I ducked my head into the cockpit.
"Luke, who could be slicing into the jewel?"
"Hold on, let me see what R2 said." The message read,
"Malicious code found and neutralized. Surveillance program, origin unknown. Inserted recently.
It would have been almost as soon as we entered the system and accessed their net," she said. "When I did that search for Azurnesin, I can't believe we'd get tagged so fast or so easily."
"Well, we already know that some of them do contract work for the spy net. This is probably their way of saying hello."
"It's rude."
"To them, it's business as usual. They probably figure if we can't protect ourselves, then we deserve to be spied on."
"I obviously need to upgrade my firewalls. Lots more fire, I think," she said. "Could it have been Nessin himself who did it? Or one of his employees?"
"Sure," I shrugged. "It could have been almost anyone in the system, though." I jerked my head to indicate the living quarters. "I need to get back. Keep an eye on the scanners and yell if anything develops."
"Yeah, all right."
I was trying not to fall into the trap of conspiracy theories. Once you start looking for them, you see them everywhere. But they're usually just mirages, nothing more.
And yet this was quite a coincidence.
I returned to the quarters, thrust my hands in my pockets, and looked up at the Given.
"You know, Drusel, I think we should talk."
"You say that as if we had not been talking in the very recent past, or as if we are not